Underway. So the shiur today is about Harvona. We're on a tight schedule, so you'll forgive me. It'll be a little less discussion than I'm usually comfortable with, but for want of time and just to bring forward an idea. So let me open with a musical number. I usually don't start with singing or anything because I don't really fancy this as a musical shiur, but among the various semi-serious songs that come up at one's Purim Suda, there is actually a song about Harvona. And of course, in typical Purim fashion, it repeats over and over again the word Vigam. As you know, at the end of Shoshanat Yaakov, the prayer that we recite after we say Sher Heini, and then Shoshanat Yaakov at the end of reading the Megillah, we make reference, the end of the whole paragraph, to Vigam. The last words are Vigam Harvona Zachur Latov. So at my Suda, invariably, someone, usually me, lapses into the song that just repeats again and again. Vigam, 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 vigam. That's the whole song. And then the next part is Harvona, 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 Zachur Latov. Right? So and you repeat, Harvona, 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 Zachur Latov. That's the whole song. So you just learned, if you learn nothing else, you now have a song for your Purim Suda. Why sing a song about Harvona? Why not? It's Purim. But it is kind of strange that the Shulchan Aruch, right here on the first page, if you turn right here, page two on the top, there's a mysterious halachic recall of Harvona. That statement of Shoshanat Yaakov ending the Garment Harvona is a halachically sanctioned statement. I have here the Shulchan Aruch, page two. Tzaruch sheyomer Arur Haman, Baruch Mordechai, Arura Zeresh, Brucha Esther. We have that language in Shoshanat Yaakov that we recite as soon as we finish the reading the Megillah. And then we don't say, interesting, I don't know what happened to it, no one's sure, but Arurim Kol Ovdei Elilim. That's not in the liturgy anymore. Cursed be all those who worship idols, not in there. Bruchim Kol Yisrael, let all the Jewish people be blessed. Okay. And then the Shulchan Aruch adds, it's a matter of halacha. V'tzarch she'yomer v'gam Harvona zachur latov. And also Harvona should be remembered for the good. It's a matter of halacha that one needs to recite this. This is based in the Yerushalmi. The Talmud says, Rav Amar Tzarich Lomar Arur Haman Arurim Banav Amar Rabbi Pinchas Tzarich Lomar Harvona Zachur Latov. You have to make mention of this person and say that this person is also remembered for the good. Who is this person? And what I want to try to parse the few minutes that we have this morning, what are the various ideas about who he may be? Some of us already have a preconceived notion of who he is and why it might be that he is mentioned with such prominence from a halachic vantage point, that he should be part of the liturgy, codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Don't forget, you have to curse Haman, you have to bless Mordechai, and you also have to include Tzarech Lomar to include it as well. So many of us are familiar with the Megillah year over year. I don't want to belabor the whole story. Just to focus us on what I have here in red on page two, we know it practically by heart. The last moments of Haman Yimach Shemo's life. In these moments, he is already in a trajectory going downward, down to his death. And in the midst of that story, where it seems obvious that he's already done for, to use the colloquial expression, where the king has learned that there is an enemy, his name is Haman, he has stormed out in a fury, he comes back in. Verse 8, Pasuk Chet, right then and there, it's just, I read it as one long run on sentence. He comes back from being in the gardens outside of where they were drinking. Haman has fallen down on the couch. The whole story there, he's pleading for his life. And lo and behold, the king accuses him of some kind of attempt at making a move against the queen. And as he says this, the face of Haman chafu, which variously means his face fell, his face was covered, something happened to him at that moment. It was over, finished. So if it's already finished, what do we need the chime in of the next pasuk? And there is actually I put it for you as it is in the Masoretic text, and you'll find it in a Megillah. There's a space. Vayomer Harvona echad min asarisim lifnei ha-melech. So Harvona, it wants you to know, is one of the sarisim. He's one of the eunuchs. He's part of the retinue of the king, who's before the king. He says, chimes in, Gam hinei ha'etz asher asah Haman l'Mordechai asher diber tov al ha'melech omei b'beit Haman gavoa chamishim amah v'yomer ha'melech tluhu alav. He lets everybody know that there happens to be a tree that Haman made for Mordechai, who spoke good of the king. Now, remember, Mordechai has actually not been mentioned in this parak, right? It's just, and I gave it to you here, it's when she finally speaks, she says, I and my nation have been sold to be killed, destroyed, annihilated, right? And I want you to know, who is that person who's Ezehu? Ish tsar v'oyev Haman harazeh, she points to him, yeah? Mordechai is not mentioned, so Charvona seems to bring up Mordechai in the story and to tell everybody that there is a tree. I mean, first, there's a tree, and second, that Mordechai is in the picture somehow. Oh, yes, Mordechai, who was in the last parak, paraded around the streets of Shushan, dressed in the king's, in the royal raiments. Had there not been a mention of Charvona, maybe this person, Haman, would have been drowned in the river that ran through Shushan, that separated between Shushan Ha'ir and Shushan Habira. Maybe they would have put him in prison. Vashti, according to many opinions, gets killed. You don't have to learn how she died. Again, it's not clear from the Megillah that she got killed, by the way. Shot, just as she was removed. But according to some Midrashim, she was killed. Okay, you have to know the means that he was killed. Well, there's obviously a symmetry about knowing the way he was going to be killed is, as the expression goes, hoisted on his own tree, hoisted on his own petard. That's what happened. So that's what we want to learn from the story, presumably. But who is Charvona? And according to the Gemara in Masechet Megillah, he's an incredibly wicked person. He is actually part of the group that sits in the living room of Haman and gives him the advice to figure out about making a tree in the first place. Says the Gemara, "V'yomer Charvona v'gomer Amar Rabbi Elazar Af Charvona Rasha be'oto Eitza Haya." He was part of the same council, and the Rishonim understand these words "be'oto Eitza Haya" means that he was one of the people listed as Ohavav Shel Haman. He's in his inner court, inner circle. He sits with him, and he told him, "Hey, you should make up the idea of a tree." But according to this reading, as soon as Charvona saw that the wind was blowing through the trees in the other direction, he jumped ship. Machiavelli would be proud. He just was very pragmatic about it, and he decided, you know, miad barach, he ran away. And what does running away mean? Make sure you don't get caught in the dragnet of all of the people associated with Haman Harasha, because as we know what's coming next, the B'nai Haman will be hung. It's possible, in fact, likely that he literally had 10 sons, but it's also possible and likely that the 10 sons of Haman are the B'nai Haman, like Elisha, Lahavdol Fe'avdol, Elisha is mi B'nai Hanavi'im of Eliyahu. You're not the Ben Navi, you're Ben Torah, doesn't mean literally you're born to the Torah. So the B'nai Haman could very easily also be the people who are in the retinue. Who gets out? Charvona. How come? Well, he's just helpful and helping the king to right an impending wrong. Behind the dichtiv, as it says, the pasuk in Iov, by shlechlav lo yachmol miado beruach yivrach v'chana el shachacha, etc. That goes on. Sorry, that's the next part. Yivrach, etc. The idea that once he came after him, there would not be pity, and there would be running away. Who's running away? Charvona. He switches sides. He's a turncoat. V'nafochu begins in the, I mean, it doesn't begin here. The beginning happens earlier, but in the internal process of Charvona, a wicked man, for wicked reasons, happened to be in the right place in the right time. But the fact that good things emerged is enough for us to say, V'gam Charvona zachur latov. The Maharsha points out that the way the Gemara must have known this idea, you can always make recourse to, it's just a Masorah. That's fine. It's a tradition, learned, passed down generation. It's always one answer. But another possibility is, maybe Chachamim understood something from the way that the verse is structured that taught us about this this idea that Charvona must have been in the inner circle of Haman. Charvona writes the Maharsha, Haya echad mi zayin sarise ha-melech ha-mesharatim lo, kirchtiv le'el. Charvona, top page 3. He was already known to us. He's already one of the people listed in chapter 1 as among the 7 main people who serves the king, King Achashverosh. So it should have said here also that he's one of Srisei HaMelech, right? Mm-hmm. But it didn't say that. Look back at the verse on page 2, verse 9. Vayomer charvona echad misarisei hamelach? No. Echad min hasarisim. But not sarisei hamelach. He's min hasarisim lifnei hamelach. But he's not the srisei hamelach. And that's a hint right there. So el medrash echad min hasarisim, second line of the marsha. How does some guy who's standing in the background in the shadows know the exact number of amot that the tree might be? It's very tall, but how do you know precisely what it is? Because the people who sat in the sitting room and the drawing room, you could say, of Haman and Zeresh is hearing the discussion and coming up with a precise number of 50. So therefore, that's how there may be a hint already there, the precision of knowing 50, when in truth, it wasn't like they announced it's a 50 Amahai tree. The fact that it's Echad min hasarisim, but it doesn't tell us Srisei HaMelech, it's just Lifnei HaMelech, implies that he's somehow involved. Yeah? And therefore, the idea that, you know, he's escaping. Yeah, he's getting out. He wants to be in the right place and the right time. He saw the tide was turning. He jumped to the other side before he got ensnared together with Haman. The Sefer Chasidim, Rabbi Yudah Chasid, and Siman Tov Shin Memvav writes, "Va'asher amru al charvona zachur latov." Why do you say charvona zachur latov? I mean, on the assumption, let's say that he's wicked, and you know he's just wicked. He's turn another time, another team rather. Lefishim adam adaber b'shevach tzadikim ben Yehudim ben Nachrin. Oto ploni asal Yisrael oto tova yomru not zichrono livracha but zachur latov. Says the Sefer Chasidim, a person, let's say Charvona as an example, any person who speaks in the praise of a tzaddik, whether they're Jewish or they're non-Jewish, by dint of saying something positive about the Jewish people and a good turn comes to the Jewish people, that individual, regardless of their religion, zachur latov, should be remembered for the good. Charvona was wicked, but v'gam charvona zachur latov. I'm not going to put him with the Baruch Mordechai's of the world. He's not Mordechai. He's not a great tzaddik. But we append, v'tzarech lomar, like the Shulchan Aruch says, v'gam charvona zachur latov. Even if, in reality, his motives might have just been totally self-serving. V'arav ha-gon Reuven Margoliot, the Biuro Mikor Chasid, he wrote the following, katav, v'atam shi'izkiru b'yichud be'eliyahu, Hula Asher Matsinu Shamar Bata Elayla Haskirat Avoni Lazoni Palim Shteaz Karatola Tova. I'm gonna come back to that statement in a few minutes. I actually put it in the wrong place in the source sheets, but I already showed my hand. I shouldn't have read it now. It's actually on the Sefer Chasidim, but I didn't move it down to where it belongs. Sorry. Blooper. You won't look behind the curtain. But I will tell you that is the segue to the, that's why I put it here. Source number three, page three, on the bottom of the page, the mysterious recall of a mysterious man. According to another line of thinking of Chazal, this individual is not wicked Charvona who sits with Haman. It's Eliyahu Hanavi. You don't have to look behind the curtain for too long because I said it. So what does the Pirkei Avot Eliezer say? Pirkei Avot Eliezer says, it's the middle of this source to the bottom. I'm on line three, the last word. Bo'otasha'a, at that exact moment when the king was already getting very upset, Bo'otasha'a me'asel yel zachur latov, nidma kecharvona echad misari si ha-melech, who's dressed up in a costume and his name remains hidden the whole time? Charvona, because his real name is Eliyahu Hanavi. Amar lo, yesh eitz b'veito shel Haman, b'et kodshei kodashim gavoh ha-chamishim amah. Do you know that in the house of Haman, in his courtyard, he has from the wood of the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, it's 50 amot high. Shedamar, according to a pasuk from Malachim Aleph about the building of the Beit HaMikdash, that the building, the structure of the Heichal and the Ulam, 50 amos high was how tall it was. So it's 50 and 50. It's a connection, and therefore the king said, "Hang him up on it." Eliyahu Hanavi is right behind all of this. And it's just interesting to consider a totally different point of view. V'gam charvono zachur latov is really v'gam Eliyahu zachur latov. And that's why we're mentioning him, because he's in the picture, but he's in coded language. So we're going to mention him and just call him by the name that he appears in the Megillah. If you turn to page four, another more dramatic rendering of this, which puts many more malachim and ishim into the picture. What did Michael HaMalach do? He started in the garden pulling up all of the beautiful trees. He's pulling them up. So when the king saw this, it made him even angrier, right? According to some of the Midrashim in Yalkut Shimoni, I think Yegarta de Esther, describes that Ahasuerus says to the gardener, "What are you doing?" He says, "Oh, Haman told us to redecorate the whole garden outside." So that enraged him. "I just heard that he's an enemy. I come outside, and now he's already reworking the furniture in the garden? What's going on here?" He's trying to reorient things without asking my permission, my beautiful Persian garden. So that only added to it. What did Michael, the angel, do? Dachafol Esther. He pushed him onto Esther. He's trying to take me down. He's trying to capture me right in front of you. Right? So Michal did that, caused Haman to fall. So that's why the king said, "Are you coming to conquer the queen with me in the house?" His face fell. That's chafu. The exact words that are also in the Yerushalmi in Megillah. That's why I have to say Charvona Zachur L'Tov. It's really who? It's Eliyahu Hanavi. It's not a guy named Charvona. It's Eliyahu, and he's replaced him, and he's there. And therefore, we remember him for the good, because it wasn't really Charvona. The Yalkut Shimoni, the next source, wants to give us an amalgamation of the two. It's not just that Charvona was in the other room, but as a result of the fact that Charvona didn't work out, things didn't work out for him, the real Charvona left, and a body double took his place. So Vimar Charvona, Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Chanina, Av Charvona Harasha, Beotah Eitz Haya, Kevin Shirosh, and Kamat Satom, Yad Barach, he ran away, like the Gemara said. He was wicked, and he ran away. That's why there's room for somebody else to step in. And in other words, it's not that Charvona had a change of heart, it's somebody else. But that somebody else is called Charvona because the reality of the actual Charvona who had left the scene, he ran away. So Lahavdal, he exited stage left, and in from stage right, comes Eliyahu, as he's one's leaving, the other one's coming in, he took his place. A change up. Amar Adni HaMelech, he said to him, Yesh Eitz Beveitol, the same thing, right? Eliyahu Nidmelech Charvona, he was dressed in the costume of Charvona. In the Eliyahu Rabbah, we learn, a Pasuk Yud Gimel, here, Simon Tov Reis Tzadik, Simon Yud Gimel, and Seif Yud Gimel, rather, V'gam Charvona, he writes, in the Maharil, we learn, Charvona Hu Eliyahu. That's where we get the idea that the Maharil already codifies for Minhag Ashkenaz, Charvona is Eliyahu. V'shamati lefaresh gam Charvona. And I found to also explain, that's why it says gam Charvona, also Charvona. Rotzalomar af shapshuto emet shehu Charvona, even though the level of pshat, the person in that pasuk is someone named Charvona. Mikomakom yehi baruch kevin dezachu latov. He should be blessed because he's remembered for the good. Rotzalomar, meaning, who is always called Zachur Latov? Eliyahu Zachur Latov. And therefore, because, why say Charvona, V'gam Charvona Zachur Latov? Because in this case, Ratzaloma Shinizka Latova, the Yesh Omrim Shehu Eliyahu. Charvona is Eliyahu, because really this person was Eliyahu. So, V'gam Charvona Zachur Latov. Just like we say Eliyahu Zachur Latov, also Charvona Zachur Latov. Because really, Charvona equals Eliyahu Hanavi. And the Aruch HaShulchan, along the same lines, with Tzarech Lomar, V'gam Charvona Zachur Latov, Afal Gav, Dulfia Medrash, Eliyahu Nidmi Bidmutu, Mikomakom Kevin Nidmi Bidmut Charvona, Nazkirei Latov. Since he dressed up as Charvona, we don't want to say V'gam Eliyahu Zachur Latov. We'll give credit where credit is due. We'll call him by the name of his costume. You could say, just like Esther, her real name is Hadassah, just like Mordechai, his real name was Mordechai, but it's a foreign name. So too, we have Eliyahu, his real name is Eliyahu. He went by Charvona in the Megillah. That's, we'll give him credit.
They wouldn't have worked that unless the king had gone outside, so they do the switcheroo.
Or maybe while the king was outside, you mean. Yeah, interesting. Maybe that was when it happened. Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have
seen he would have seen there's two people with the same. Right. Yeah, yeah. So it's when the king was outside. Maybe that's when switch. Good, good. Okay, I hadn't thought of it that way. The Maharal on page four, the Maharal points out that there's that we're challenged to try to understand how could it be that what occurred, what transpired, that was part of the redemption, was through someone so wicked as Charvona. Lo shayach hadavar el Charvona, rak shaya nimshach el ikar ha-geula, sheba al haman Hashem yitbarach. Of course, it was all from Hashem, but he was drawn in that direction. Virav, she'amar she'tzarech lomar zachur latov. Rav, who holds that you have to say zachur latov. In some cases, and it's actually paskin that way, right? And it's some gemaras, in the gemara it's Rav Pinchas, some say it's Rav, but yeah, we have to say zachur latov about him. The opinion that even holds you have to say Zachur LaTov thinks it was Eliyahu. Ulekach tzarich lomar. This is what you have to say. Va'af charvona Zachur LaTov means, and also charvona, and despite the fact that it's charvona, v'gam means va'af. Despite the fact that it's charvona, we'll even give him a blessing because it's not really him. She'ein davar zeshu ikar ha-geula behind a tli at Haman ba'yedei echad ma'umot. It can't be that the main moment of redemption, the linchpin in a certain way, or at least that which will have him hoisted on his own tree, is going to come about from one of the nations of the world. Lekach, and therefore he says, Bakan hey b'shem charvona, b'makom aleph shekatuv l'mala charvona, shu'ot achat mehashem, l'mar sheshemid bracha poel, she'amar charvona davar zeh. What's the Maharal talking about? In red on page four. Bayom hashvi'i, the first chapter of Esther, Ketov lev hamelach bayayin amar limuhuman bista charvona. See the spelling of the name charvona? Mit an aleph. There's an aleph there. He has an aleph. Charvona with an aleph. Kimtarayin, the last parak, the parak that we're in today, back on page two, what does it say in verse 9? Vayomer charvona. Echad min hasarisim. You don't like the mar, you like the marsha better? So it's because he's not a sris of the melech. But the Maharal says, no, he is one of the Srisim of the Melech. He is one of the people in the inner circle of the king. And he's actually standing before the king. Charvona, like other people in Jewish history, his name was changed by a letter. Sarai became Sarah, Hoshea became Yehoshua, and Charvona, et Aleph, became Charvona with a hey, one of the letters of Hashem's name. And therefore, Vayomer Charvona echad min asarisim lifnei hamelech, means Charvona, i.e. Eliyahu Hanavi, who is one of the Sarisim, Lifnei HaMelech, one of the people who works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the people who's in the inner circle, so to speak, I mean, relatively speaking, who represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu and goes out on Shlichut, he, before the king, points out, Gam Hinei Ha'etz, Asher, Asa Haman LeMordechai. Vigam Charvona Zachur LaTov. It's the same idea, but to the Maharal, this must be that Eliyahu is this person, and I'll show you how I know, because there's a name change from Charvona Be'alef to Charvona Be'hei, and it's not Hamelech HaChashveirosh, but just Hamelech, and it's the idea that he comes in at this moment to sew things up. Would Haman have been killed anyway? Yeah, probably. It's where it was going, but he cinches it, and not just cinches it, but creates the symmetry, again, with the same tree that was meant for Mordechai HaYehudi. So the Dubin of Ramagid, I found this in one of the footnotes, the Chasuke Chemet, doing a little searching around. The Dubin of Ramagid wanted to understand a little bit, what does this mean? That if all of this is true, that Charvon is really Yahu, so why don't you just say at the end, V'gam Eliyahu Zechur LaTov? Like, what do you need the mask for? And that's the halacha of Agam Charvona Zechur LaTov. The Chasuke Chemed quotes here in the footnote from the Dubin of Hermagid. I don't have the original source, so I would have gone to find it. Al Mamar Yerushalmi, when it says Aruham and Baruch Mordechai, Agam Charvona Zechur LaTov. Here's the question, right? With regard to Charvona Yemanavshah, I'm on the second line of the Chasuke of this footnote, to the end of the line after the second comma. Imu Ra'u Lihit Barech, Lamali Yamichla Amit Barchin, Lomar Lav Baruch Charvona. Why don't you say Baruch Charvona? Baruch Mordechai, Baruch Charvona. Why don't you just say that? Yeah? Would fit. V'im ra'ui, like Baruch Mordechai Brucha Esther. So Baruch Harvona. V'im ra'ui hu le'arur hayolomar arur alav arur. Ubiyer al piyam medrash v'yomar Harvona. We explain, v'otasha bar Eliyahu v'nidim l'Harvona. Really, it's Eliyahu, and he's dressed up as Harvona. So in truth, this isn't really Harvona speaking. Who's really speaking? Eliyahu Navi speaking. And he writes, third to last line, Rakshi Eliyahu Zal hitchapes bidmut Harvona. He's wearing a costume. He looks like Harvona. V'in kain, lami yizkeh lebracha achar shehu lo diber tov. He didn't actually speak positively, Harvona. Ulam im kol zeh yizacher shemo letov. Ach shel Eliyahu Zal lo nidmer lesar acher zulato. You know why? As Eliyahu could have been anybody else, but he chose to be Harvona, and that's why. By the way, couldn't Esther and Malka have just been the one? She has so much Ruach HaKodesh to just say, oh, and by the way, but no, there's this extra person who's standing there, and he's involved. Al korcha she'ahir hur tov tzat b'libo. There must have been in Harvona, the wicked, a little bit of something that was good, something redemptive within the persona of Harvona, that he was worthy that Eliyahu HaNavi should take over and be him. Last line, we bring merit through the one who is already meritorious. And I'll tell you, because the Lubav of Magid was famous for his allegories, let me tell you the following little story, he says. Imagine someone went to the wedding of his son, and he doesn't have the right kind of clothing to wear. So what does he do? He borrows clothing, next page, from his friend. And when he comes back from the wedding, he gives back the beautiful suit that he wore to his son's wedding. When he gives it back to its original owner, the vine he borrowed it from, he tells him, oh, by the way, I brought you things from the sweet table, from the Viennese table. You should have this. You'd enjoy it. I brought you sweets. To give him some thanks that even though you weren't at the wedding yourself, your clothing was at the wedding. So I put something in the pocket. You have some cake in there. Enjoy. So achareshim al bushit labeish al chatuna, to go to the wedding since he wore his clothing. Uchemokein ra'ui charvona lizacher latov ba'avurshit labeish bo. Since he was dressed up as him, you could also read it a little more mystically. He became charvona. He took over charvona. He inhabited the body of charvona, you could say, acting as Eliyahu HaNavi. Not two people. Not really, literally wearing the costume. But as much as the goof is a levush, so the levush, the body is a clothing of the neshama. So he came, but he'd meliot kitsamo dmuto. So he showed up. Everyone thought it's Harvona. Really, it's not Harvona. Harvona is really wicked. But wearing the garb of Harvona, the body of Harvona, is being controlled by who? None other than this person, Eliyahu HaNavi, who is somewhere between being a person, a malach, Hashem Tzivakot, as we're learning in our Sefer Malachim Shir. If you look back at the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it mentions in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that source back in page 3, it says there specifically that this individual, Eliyahu, when he did what he did, and he mentioned the name of Harvona, go hang him on the tree, the last line on the page, on page 3, says this was to fulfill what it says in the Sefer Ezra, Yitnesach'a min baite. Yitnesach'a min baite. It's not clear what it means. When you look on page 5, you get more of an inkling. Very hard to learn Sefer Ezra, most of Sefer Ezra. It's in a foreign language. It's in Aramaic. So if you look at verse 11, it says, I also issue an order that whoever alters this decree shall have a beam removed from his house, and he shall be impaled on it and his house confiscated. Impaled on it, Rashi points out, when it says in the pasuk Uzikif Yitmechei Alohi, it means Ve'etz Litloto, a tree upon which he will be hung. Yehe Gavoa Alav will be very high. She Yitle Al Ha'etz will be hanging off of the tree. Now, what decree is being referenced? What's the context? We don't have time to see the whole thing inside. I know not everybody has a Tanakh, so if you don't have one, it's okay. I'm just going to read it to you in English anyway, because we'll break our teeth in the Aramaic. It'll take too long. It's the story of what happens in the Second Temple period in Bayit Sheni. And once you hear the beginning of it, you start saying, ah, okay, we have a little more of an inkling of what it's about. Chapter 6 in Sefer Ezra. And too many issues to parse about this. A few years ago, I gave a shiur. Someone reminded me yesterday, trying to explain how Purim fits in with Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, Ayin Sham. but not for today. I'm just going to read you a few of these psukim so you understand what's going on. Okay, in the first year, no, here we are. Then Daryavish the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the archives where the treasures were laid up in Babel, and there was found at Achmeta, the fortress that is in the province of Madai, a roll, a scroll, meaning, and therein was a record thus written. Here's what the record said. In the first year of Koresh the king, the same Koresh the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Yerushalayim. Let the house be built, the place where they offer sacrifice, and let its foundations be strongly laid, its height 60 cubits and its breadth 60 cubits, and with three rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be paid out of the king's house. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple, which is at Yerushalayim, and brought to Babel, be restored and brought back to the temple, which is at Yerushalayim, everyone to its place, and place them in the house of God. And then we learn that Tatanai, who is the governor beyond the river, Shetzar Boznai and your associates, et cetera, who are beyond the river, keep far from hence. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in its place. Moreover, I make a decree as to what you shall do for the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God and that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river. Expenses be given with all diligence to these men so that they are not delayed. A description of the various offerings that they gave them, and then the words we just read. Yeah. Also, I have made a decree, says Daryavesh the king, yeah, that whoever shall alter this word, let a beam of a timber be pulled down from his house, and let him be impaled upon it, lifted up and impaled thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. Yeah. And may the God who has caused his name to dwell there destroy all kings and peoples that shall put to their hand to alter this, or to destroy this house of God which is at Yerushalayim. I, Daryavesh, have made a decree. Let it be done with diligence. Comes Eliyahu HaNavi dressed as Harvona, announces to the king, by the way, there's a piece of timber for a person who's trying to stop up the works, gum up the works of all of Jewish history, trying to do away with the Jewish people. And it's him. Oh, now it gets fulfilled. How does it get fulfilled? Take a timber from his house, 50 amas high, fluhu alav. Says the Malbim. What happened in this story? As Natan Daryavesh HaMelech, and I'm not getting to the question, which is not for today. It's just that's part of what the other shir is about, Ayin Sham. Which Daryavesh is this? There's a whole discussion. Darius 1, Darius 2. There's a whole back and forth. Not for today. But Adin Az Natan Daryavesh HaMelech, Bekuda, Ubiksu Bebeit HaSfarim. They all started searching in the archives. Sound familiar? A king gives a decree. Go look in the archives. Shegnuzim Munachim Sham BeBavel. They were all back in Bavel. Umatsu Bateva Babira Shumdinat Madai Megillah Achat. They found a lost scroll in as they were looking around. Vichenka Tubal Zikaron. And it said something in a Sefer Zichronis. There was a book of Chronicles. Nira ki ira malucha hayatchila bebavel. At the beginning, the Babylonian Empire obviously had the city, the capital city is in Bavel. But what happens? Vishami Munachim called Sifra Bakudot Shalamelach. That's where they put all of the scrolls that were issued by kings. V'chein ha-michtav sheshalach Koresh al odot ha-binyan. Also the letter, the writ from Koresh, the Koresh decree, right, that enabled the building of the Beit HaMikdash to go back. And that's what's being read by Daryavesh. He finds the scroll and he's reading it. Shaya nuscho kol mamlechot ha-aretz natan li Hashem, kemoshe katavti kertubi rosh ha-sefer. Okay, the nusach Koresh used the expression, God gave me all of the kingdoms of earth. Zaya munach bebavel. That scroll was left in Bavel. You know why? Because in the days of Koresh, the beginning of the Persian Empire, how did the Persian Empire become the Persian Empire? Remember? Destroyed the Babylonian Empire. So the capital city was the same capital city. Arose uv'yemei Achashverosh, says the Malbim. She knew it kisei hamalucha mi Bavel l'Shushan. They moved it over. It shouldn't be associated with it. They moved it from Iraq to Iran. It means it was newly in Shushan Habira. As I wrote in my commentary to Megillat Esther. But this letter was lost. Surmises the Malbim. Haman, by this logic, who is in the inner circle, who is the second to the king, he's the Mishnah Lamelech. He took this letter and he made sure it didn't get on the truck from Bavel to Shushan so that it would be lost because it was positive. Now in Medea, right? Now they found it. There was a little scroll, and the scroll is about what? That there's going to be a rebuilt temple. Oh. Right? So the idea that this scroll was in some kind of a book of chronicles, and it wasn't in the hands of Haman, so he couldn't get rid of it, and it showed up. Now, what does it mean it showed up? Charvona, as Eliyahu Hanavi, as Charvona says, and by the way, someone just went against this writ. Who's that? Haman. He's got a tree, and he's, right? And it was the illusion here is, remember, there's something else in the air about Daryavesh, about all these different things. There's a scroll out there that talks about this, the symmetry, so that because of Ezra is right there. Now, for reasons we won't go into today, but Ayin Shama, that other shir, is title I don't remember, it's from a few years ago. Again, depending which Daryavesh we're talking about, it may be a later Daryavesh, which also fits with this, but I can't explain that to you today. It just take too long. But just when you think about all this, you think, okay, Charvona is either a wicked person who's Machiavellian, he's Eliyahu dressed up, he is Charvona, Eliyahu becomes Charvona. In case you think this is all academic, the following Shaila came to a posek in Yerushalayim, named Rav Pinchas Zevichi. Here's the Shaila. We don't have time to read the whole thing inside, but it's from Tafshin Nun Dalet. So what is it, about 30 years ago, plus minus? Here's the case. Someone asked this posek in Yerushalayim. He wanted to give an Aron Kodesh to the shul in Yerushalayim, and he wanted on the side a little plaque. And on the plaque, he was going to do it Lili Nishmat, his son, who was killed in a terror attack while he was in the army, but they were ambushed. And he wants his son's name on the plaque. But his son wasn't the only one who died in the terror attack. Other soldiers were with him who died. He wants all the names of the chayalim on the plaque. What's the shaila? One of the soldiers is a Druze. Can he put the name of a Druzy soldier, he's not Jewish, on a plaque, on an Aron Kodesh, in a shul, in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, or not? It's going to say the Ilui Nishmat. What does Rezvichi do? And I give you a very small part of this long, 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 long tshuva. He says, V'gam Charvona Zachur Latov. V'gam Charvona Zachur Latov. He's not Jewish, but he did the Jewish people a good turn. Should be remembered for the good. Of course we have to put him up. But wait a second. But maybe he's not really Charvona. Maybe it's really Eliyahu Navi. Maybe Charvona is really a big Rasha. I don't know. He's going back and forth. And he goes through this whole limud, back and forth, all the Makorah. I'm trying to understand it. And then he says, basically, second last paragraph, Valkain Kamur, Shaper Efshel has Kirla Chayal Zeh, Al Af Shelo Shehu Nochri. We can add him even though he's not Jewish. Bashalat and Nadavash Yunachal Arna Kodesh. V'yutan Shemo, Bichlal Shara Chayalim, should be there. The Af She Yesham Bashalat Zeh, Tfilak Tzara Lutnushmatam. Even though it's going to be a prayer that his soul should be elevated. Ubifrat Yeshlahaka Badavar, Kevin Shemo Shel Chayal Zeh, Ubichlal Kol Shara Chayalim. It's in the middle of all the other Chayalim. So we're adding him in, we're including him. But more than that, V'ayin B'sefer Yalkut Yosef, one of the Sfarim written in of the Torah of Hechacham Ovadia, Zechuto Yagen Alein Zechut Sarak Livracha, Shehevi Sham, Shemuter Lomar Kaddish Al Nishmat Goy Shehitzil Yisrael Misakana Be'et HaShoha Ayuma. You're allowed to say Kaddish after a righteous Gentile from the Shoah. V'afla Sot L'Ashkava. You can even say the Sfardi equivalent of the Kelmale. V'ayin Yosef. Ulam, Kadesh lo yaseh davar hatamua l'rabim, since it would be strange, people will start thinking it's weird that you're saying kel malei rachamim, and then in the middle you're going to throw in a totally non-Jewish name. I would be like, what's going on? So he thinks, Rav Avadya writes, you should put it at the end of your aliyah, behavla'ah, like don't say out loud the whole thing, but you can say it. So he writes, v'achinami shapir, heveihachi sheshmo muvla ben achirim, ve'eno davar habolet sheyeshmo levad. It's not his name is going to be by itself, it's part of a group. V'lachain writes further lines, a very long tshuva. V'lachain, v'kol ha'amar, ola mitbarer, d'shapi chol nechtov v'luach zikarot zeh, shiunach v'yikval ha'arna kodesh, af et shmo shel chayal zeh. V'yiratzan, v'liyishma od, shod, v'shever, v'gvuleinu, v'shav, Yaakov, v'shaket, v'shanan, v'ein macharid, amen, ken yihi ratzan. I hope it'll be the last of anyone who ever gets killed. Anir alifinos deati, katavti, b'siat deshmaya, pindichas zvichi, sfaradi tahor. That's what they sign. And that's what he writes. That's the tshuva. Halachic implication, mysterious contemporary halachic recall of Charvona Zachur Latov on what's going to go on the Aron Kodesh. So just for consideration, you know, it's not just like an academic discussion. It was actually brought, and it is in the halachic system because it's actually not just Medina de Gemara and the Yerushalmi, but it's actually brought down. Tarche Moshe brings it. Then he doesn't mention it as the Ramah because he doesn't have to add anything to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins. Ramah agrees. And that's how we paskin. What about the ongoing mysterious recall of Charvona? We actually have an ongoing mysterious recall of Charvona. And in order to understand this, we should understand that there is a connection clearly between Charvona and Eliyahu Hanavi, right? There's a connection. We just learned in this room on Thursdays a certain chapter of the story of Eliyahu Hanavi, but Eliyahu always suing for truth and justice and the Jewish way, truth, justice, the Jewish way. And he goes to live with a woman who's, she's a widow, and she has all sorts of problems, poverty. He helps her with a miracle, with Nisim. And then Vayachard Vaymelech Chala ben Haisha Ba'alat HaBayit Vayicholo Chazak Meor Ad Asher Lo Netra Bo Neshama. The child of this woman loses his ability to breathe. He dies, he goes into a coma, whatever. There are different opinions in the Mepharshim. But Tomer Eliyahu, her response to Eliyahu is not, save my child. It's, why did you do this to us? But Tomer Eliyahu, Mali Valach Isha Elokim Bata Eli Lahazkir Et Avoni Lamid Et Bini. You came by your presence, since you're such an important person and you're in such a high spiritual level, your presence made me look terrible in the eyes of Hashem. I got punished. Whatever my sins are, it raised the specter of it. Rashi quotes this in the story of Lot leaving, running away. He's nervous to run away, to go up to the mountain, because he says, "Pantid bakani hara'a," lest when I run to the mountain, I will be infected by or caught by the evil. Rashi explains, when I live with the people of Sodom, who are incredibly bad people, Hashem saw my ma'asim. He saw the other people's ma'asim. I'm a big tzaddik compared to them. I'm going to go hahar up to the mountain, which means physically up to the mountainous region where my uncle Avraham lives, the big tzaddik of the generation. Spiritually, symbolically, he's a great mountain of righteousness. I'm going to go up there. It's not going to work out for me. I'll be wicked. That's what she said to him. Compared to all the other people who live here, I'm a great righteous person. Now I'm wicked, so you can't survive, right? That's why my son died. Eliyahu HaNavi, wherever he goes, he brings din with him. And Eliyahu as Charvona is doing exactly that. By the way, sire, he deserves everything he's going to get. I seal the judgment. We have a long-standing relationship with Eliyahu HaNavi, ongoing. He's in the liturgy. We're about to talk about him, Shabbat Gadol. Maybe Shabbat Gadol, Jerusha in the offing. You never know. Hinanish.
He's in benching too.
We'll get to him in benching. Exactly. He's in benching every single time. How is he in benching? Zachulatov. So now, pause here. Now that source that I accidentally put in the wrong spot, Rav Reuven Margoliot, back on page 3, and his commentary in the Sefer Hasidim writes, why do we say Eliyahu HaNavi? He writes, V'atam she'iz kiro b'yichud be'Eliyahu, why is it mentioned specifically with regard to Eliyahu, right, that we have Zachur Latov, Hu la'asher matzinu she'amar bata e'lai la'azkirat avoni, l'zot mipalim she'tiaz karato le'tova. When we mention the name Eliyahu, everyone should get scared. We're being judged by the standard of an Eliyahu. Therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi, Zachur Latov. Harachamanu Yishlach Lanot Eliyahu HaNavi, Zachur Latov. We don't want him to come and give us din. We just want him to come for the good. V'yavaser lanu, he should bring us, B'sor Tovet, Yeshua V'nechamot. We want good news. We want salvation. We want consolation. We do not want him to come for din. But Eliyahu is coming for din. Eliyahu, according to the Radak and others, that's what it means in Malachi. Malachi, my angel, Malachi. Hinani Shalech Malachi. The end of all of Tanakh from and the world of Nevuah. Hinani Shalech Malachi Ufina Derech Lefanai Ufitom Yavo Elechalo Ha'adon Asheratim Vakshim Malach Abrit Asheratim Chafetzim Hinei Va Amar Shem Tzvakot Hinani Shalech. If you want the Mishpat Rishayim in this world, you want the wicked to be judged in this world, fine. You will see it. At the end of days, you will see it. But then, you know what will happen next? Va'az, writes the Radak, end of that first line, Yikrav Aleichem HaMishpat L'chalot HaRishayim Shibachem. Then Eliyahu is coming after that for the wicked within the Jewish nation. V'zeliyeh oto hayom sheshlach malachi ufina derech lefanai v'hu malach Hashem min ha-shamayim k'mo hine anachi shalech malach lefanech lishmurcha baderech. It's coming. He's coming. Right? There's going to be a derech lefanai. The kibbutz galiot. Right? There won't be a sot and a pegara. You'll be able to come back home. U'pitom yavol hechalo. Surprise! Shocking when you don't expect him. L'vishlo nigla akeith l'nidbar b'sefer Daniel. We don't know. Amaki pitom yavol. Suddenly he will arrive. Shelo yeda adam yom bo'o terem bo'o sheyavol. Daniel says, I don't know when it's going to come. Ha'adon, who's the master? Ha'adon, who Melech HaMashiach, who Malach HaBrit. Oh, Amar, Malach HaBrit, Al Eliyahu. Maybe it's, there's the Adon, that's the Mashiach. But the Malach HaBrit is Eliyahu, it's going to come right before. Yeah? You know the most famous pasuk which is after. Hine anochi shvolech lechem et Eliyahu hanavi, lifnei bo yom Hashem agadol v'nora. Everybody knows the song, and you know the pasuk, and right, we love it. It's beautiful. It's at the end of that haftorah, and the end of that perek of perek gimel. When Eliyahu HaNavi is mentioned in Shas, he's always mentioned Zechur LaTov on purpose. Same thing. What Reuven Margoliot explained, because we mention him, Dim. So better be Zechur LaTov. And here the Gemara in Brachot, which we actually learned last year's shir. I went to look it up. So, oh, it's right there. Second line. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Pam Achat Hayiti Mahalach Baderech, V'nichnasti L'churva Achat Michurvot Yerushalayim. Can it be just a Purim coincidence? Charvona, Melashon Churban, destruction, something destroyed. Charvona, and this person, Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, went into a Churva, which means a destroyed building in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Lihit Palel. And what happened? Ba Eliyahu Zachur Latov. Eliyahu showed up in the moment, in the place of Churva, in the place where I am in a state, in a building, a structure that is itself destroyed. And at that moment, he arrived on site, but he waited. V'shamar li ala petach. He waited. V'himtim li ad shesiyamti tfilati. After I finished, he said to me, Shalom alecha Rebbe. V'amarti lo shalom alecha Rebbe Mori. And he said to me, why did you go into a Churva? And I said, I came to daven. He said, why? You should have davened on the way. And a whole back and forth, we don't have to see the whole thing inside. It's like the idea that Eliyahu HaNavi is a Churva Tov. In Shas, the first reference in Brachot is Davka where? It comes in a Churva. Eliyahu is Charvona. He's associated with this because he's coming at the moment when things are look like they're falling apart and he's putting them back together. But it comes at a price, at a cost. And that's the Charvona piece. And the idea here that perhaps on a certain level, we could say, I gave you the line, that's our hope. The Gemara tells us we have a chiyuv, which Rishonim, Rabbi Ephraim of Bon and others question if it's really a chiyuv, or if the story that comes after it destroys the chiyuv. Rabbi Reis Shalita gave a beautiful shir about it recently to Rabbanim. I think it's online at CRC Web. I urge you to see it about intoxication on Purim and what the real halacha is, or at least one of the ways you could view it. So Rava says we're obligated to on Purim libesume ad de lo yadav in Arham and Baruch Mordechai. So you don't know between Arham and Baruch Mordechai. There's one person in the Megillah, one character in the Megillah, where even when we say his name, we already have a kium, and we don't know if he's in the category, the ledger of Arham or Baruch Mordechai. And that's at the end of Shoshanat Yaakov, the Gam Charvona Zachur Latov. Charvon, who may be Charvona the wicked from Arham, who turned at the last minute, and maybe from Baruch Mordechai, from the Eliyahu HaNavi, who came to bring, be a harbinger of Geula. I want to say one last thing in closing, one last sentence. And that is that at the end of the story of the Megillah, of course, the Jewish people remain in Shushan. Some group goes back or has gone back or whatever it is another discussion. Why do Chazal want to make sure that we understand Eliyahu HaNavi's in the story? Number one, because he is. But number two, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us windows over and over and over again where Eliyahu HaNavi is actually in the story somewhere. If things go in the right direction, then min hastam, it's the lifnei bo yom Hashem agadol v'hanora. If they don't go in the right direction, then Eliyahu HaNavi is just under his code name at a time of destruction, v'gam charvona zachur latov, and history just sails on, and the king pokes taxes, and we just move on. The positive side, though, of course, is that we learned from the story of Megillat Esther that the Charvona character keeps showing up again and again and again. The question is, do we understand to be able to say, V'gam Charvona Zachur Latov? And he writes, and we should be Zochim to have that kingdom and the mysterious recall of Charvona, the mysterious recall that he had a memory. Oh, what's that about? The mysterious recall of the name Charvona, the mysterious recall of Charvona Ad Hayom Hazeh, at the end of Shoshana Yaakov, Gam Charvona, Zechulatov. Wish everyone a Purim Sameach.